Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by David Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
I want to talk to you this weekend about miracle manifestations, or really, if I had a title, I would probably call it a manna mentality, a manna mentality. Let's go there to Joshua chapter 5, verse 12. And then no more manna. The manna stopped. Everybody shout, it stopped. As soon as they started eating the food grown in the land, they ate no more manna, for the people of Israel that year ate from the crops of Canaan. That's in the Message Bible. I want to read it from the NIV. It says, then the manna ceased the day after they had eaten the produce from the land. And the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of Canaan that year. God began to speak to me about 2 weeks ago about manna mentality, about barely getting by, about God getting ready to bring you into a new season, a new breakthrough, supernatural provision. But sometimes we try to hang on to what was, and really we need to forget about what was and what used to be, and we need to reach forward to what God has for us. And this is what was happening with the children of Israel. They had roamed around for 40 years, you know. I mean, I can picture Moses out there, you know, with his GPS on his iPhone going, man, 40 years seems like a long time. 40 years, and it was supposed to be just a few short days on this journey. And they're going around in circles and circles. And you might be there this weekend where you're like, man, I'm tired of looking for my other half. I'm tired of waiting for the breakthrough. You get sick and tired of waiting when really it's oftentimes not a God problem. It's us. And you know it's you. That's why you came to church today. Give yourself a hand for knowing it's you. You know, that's part of it. And they got right to the verge of this promised land. And then all of a sudden, God asked Moses to do something kind of crazy. He said, I want you to go and circumcise everybody before we enter into this land. And that doesn't scare ladies, but let me tell you, these are adult men. Come on, somebody. There's no anesthesia. There's no hospitals. There are those arrows that you see Indians, like if you go down to the arch down there. This is a bad idea. Can you imagine that Sunday when Moses was up preaching, hey, guess what? This week we're going to circumcise everybody. How many of y'all think the church would definitely be depleted right away? What? See, oftentimes before God takes you into this new promised land, he cuts something of the flesh off of you. It makes it terribly uncomfortable, and you don't like it, and you get mad, and in fact, you're a little sore. You're aggravated, you're agitated, and so that's exactly where they are. It says that the manna stopped as soon as they ate produce from the land. See, they had begun, you know, very accustomed to the way it always happens. Every day you get up, manna falls down out of the sky, millions of pounds. Just picture I'll paint a picture for you right now. Picture a big railroad car, and it's got maybe 45 to 50 cars behind it loaded with millions of pounds of manna. That's how much it took every day. God said, give us this day our daily bread. God began to drop this stuff down. And the word manna, anybody know what it means? Manna means, what is it? Everybody shout, what is it?
What is it?
See, sometimes you're looking at God's provision going, what is it? You might even be looking for your other half. And you're looking at him going, what is it? Nicole was that way with me when we first, 18 years ago, when I was trying to get her to call me back. She couldn't recognize me the way I was dressed because I had an orange jacket on, long hair, shorts, and combat boots. And she saw me calling her. She didn't know that I was her miracle. She didn't recognize it. Come on, somebody ought to help me today. Sometimes you don't recognize your miracle. Oh, but today, if a girl even comes up and starts talking to me, oh boy, she'll be honest. She'll be like, I'll bust a cap in you right now. Because now she knows what it is. Come on, what it is, baby. You might not know what it is, but God's got good things for you, provision for your vision, whether that's finances, whether that's a healing, whether that's, I wish I had somebody to help me preach today. God is going to change the circumstance, but right now we're addicted to this manna mentality. We're used to it. So one day, they ate from the land of Canaan. And as soon as they ate from the land of Canaan, that which once was stopped happening. They got up that morning. They thought they had pleased God. Got out of the tent. They just got circumcised. So it's not really a good day to start farming. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. This is an adult audience. So now, you know, Jimmy comes out of the tent. He unzips the tent. He's accustomed to the manna being right there. Then he walks outside. Said, no more was it, what is it? Now it's, where is it? So he goes over to Arden's tent and says, Arden, apparently the delivery man forgot my manna. Arden says, Jimmy, I was just getting ready to come over and talk to you about why we don't have, come on, somebody ought to help me right now. Y'all laughing, but they weren't laughing. Just a little bit in my mind. They went from what is it to where is it? Listen, life is all about a progression of change. What you once did at 18, you can't do at 44. Once you're at 44, you can't do it at 64. Life is a progression and succession of taking you from glory to glory, to conquer cities, to possess lands, to do great things for God. But God's going to cut some stuff off of you and change the stinking plan right in the middle of what you're doing. You're comfortable now. I finally got used to manna. We learned to fry it. We boiled it. Remember, who was that guy? He said, we boil shrimp, we fry shrimp. Shrimp. Who's that guy? Come on, help me. Who's that? He figured out how to do it every way, didn't he? We get accustomed to, well, I've always had this job. It seemed like it always, it's a generation thing. For 40 years, which in the Bible, every time you see the word 40, it's a generation. It's a mindset. What your dad and mom did, that's not going to work for you. The way we once did church, it's the theology hasn't changed, but the way it delivered has to change. So God was changing them and breaking them from this mentality of manna being there every day. And he said, now that you guys have eaten from the promised land, now you're going to have to start learning the laws of spiritual farming. If not, you're going to starve. You mean today is the day I got a farm? Because there was no Social Security. There was no government aid. There was no longer anything coming down like manna from the sky. See, God had said, at some point, I got to break this cycle of poverty mentality over you. And that might be where you're at today at all campuses. God's doing something in you so he can do something through you so he can change the next generation, come on, that is under you. Somebody ought to help me today. God's looking for some people to possess some land and take some territory to think different. He doesn't want people with just manna mentality, manna Christians. He wants Canaan Christians, people that farm for a living, people that get up and say, God, I just worship you today. For 5 minutes today, let's just try it here. God, for 5 minutes, I'm going to pray. You look down, you prayed everything you know to pray. And you're 3 minutes into this situation. Come on, don't look at me like that right now. But you're saying, I really am. Every day in this new thing, God wants me to cut this off of me. He wants me to start thinking different so I can enter into May and June and July and I can start reframing my thinking because I've gotten so accustomed to this manna, this job. It's always been this way. I just feel like though I'm bored. I'm running around. Listen, all boredom goes away when you stop being a manna mentality Christian and you start being a Canaan Christian where you get up and say, this is the day the Lord has made. Come on. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, God, I thank you today that, you know, and just memorize something like, you know, this. The Bible said, give us this day our daily bread. You can just read it, Matthew 6. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. Amen. God, I just want to thank you. Give us this day our daily bread. God, I thank you that my clients are coming today, that supernatural provision is coming to me today. God, I thank you that I'm coming from the land of lack over to the land of even and then the land of prosperity. And then he said, God, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. God, I just forgive everybody. Lord, if they've done me wrong, I release it. I count it not a wrong done right now. God, you've forgiven me the big debt. I forgive them the little debt. Okay, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, we forget our debts. Lead us not into temptation. Oh, God, make me just blind to all those pretty girls out there, God. Oh, God, whatever it is, your deal. Y'all not, some guys won't admit to you, okay? God, I thank you, Lord, that when I drive past Krispy Kreme and the hot sign's on, I'm going to be able to pass it, Lord. Lead us not into temptation. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory forever. God, I thank you that your kingdom is coming down on earth and we're operating in these kingdom principles, so we're no longer on the man mentality provision for day to day. That's no way to live. Every day drops down. There's no surplus for tomorrow. God doesn't want that for us. He said in Proverbs, if you read that, that's a good thing that you can do during that chair time, that devotion time. I challenge all of our churches today to do that. Sit down and read Proverbs every day. It'll save your bacon. It'll change your life. It'll crank your tractor. It'll keep you out of debt. I was reading there this last week, and it said, do not, basically, don't co-sign for someone else because they will come and take your bed. Then Nicole, 2 days later, had an idea. She said, oh, our friends over here, they need some money, and they need to buy a new house and so on. Could we co-sign for them? I said, oh, come here. I got something to show you. I said, do you like our bed? Because we got one of those beds that go, rah. We got one of those adjustable beds. Anybody ever seen those things? It's like for old people. You just lift it up. I got one of those chairs ordered now, so you really don't have to extend ab muscles or anything. It just lifts you up. And then you get out. I said, Nicole, well, I was reading Proverbs, and the Bible said, don't do that because they'll come take our bed. See, real quick, you get off into trying to supply everybody else's needs. If they have a manna mentality and you're accustomed to manna mentality, then you think you're God. Got a memo for you this first weekend in May. I want to say it right. You ain't God. Come on, shout it. You ain't God. Oh, if you're an English major, you're dying right now. You're not God. Get off of the manna mentality and begin to consider the provision of God each and every day, because manna was their survival food. There was none left over for tomorrow. If there's a way to be a dollar behind, there's a way to be a dollar ahead. When I took this church over 12 years ago, seems like we could have gotten more done in 12 years, doesn't it? It's like, my goodness. We did a lot, didn't we? Built the 10 most influential church in America. 12 years. You did that. You did that. You did that. Volunteers did that. Woo! But I just want to tell you, it still seems like it's going too slow. Not enough being done. I'm a real go-getter. I take Nicole to work and then I go get her. Come on, somebody. All right, so my dad, his level in his generation was, well, we got 200 people and our buildings are paid off. Now they look horrible. Well, you know what? We could borrow some money over here and fix them up a little. No. It's a broke manna mentality. And I remember this. This is why it's so important. If you have a manna mentality, you have a survival mode. God never created us to survive. He called us to thrive. He said, I know the plans I have for you, and they're for good and not for evil, to bring you to expect it in. Ephesians 3:20, he said, I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask or imagine. Check this out. According to the power that works within you. Who's in you? Well, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So when you go tonight to eat fajitas, you need to ask the Holy Spirit, are you in the mood for fajitas? Because that's what we're having tonight. I say that jokingly just to make you aware of. God's in there. I do have a joke, though, that I got to put right there because it just came up. It was either my spirit or my mind. They're both quite lovely. Somebody was grabbing the other day at the church. Is God black? Is God white? And I said, y'all are going to be surprised when you get to heaven. And God goes, buenos dios. Come on, that's as good as it gets. Come on now. So, my dad had a mentality, And I needed to change that mentality because he was in the hospital and he was saying, oh man, it's gonna snow. And I just can't. He's 4 weeks away from dying. And he said, man, I just can't handle this budget anymore. Tired of believing God for the money, tired of whatever. And I just looked at him and thought, I love my dad. And he loves me. He's 56 years old and he doesn't want it to snow. So we got two options. We can either move away where there's no snow, or we could put a little money in the bank so if it did snow, it didn't matter if anybody went to church or not. So when Dad died, the first thing I started doing, we didn't have much money, so it was pretty easy to put 10% in the bank every week, because if you only have $1,000, come on, I went to homeschool, help me with it. You just got $100? The next thing you know, we had $1,000, then we had $5,000, then we had $10,000, and then one day we had $1,000,000 in the bank, and it snowed or didn't snow, and I said, the weather outside is frightful, and the fire is so delightful. And then, guess what? We weren't trusting in the million. God caused us, because we didn't have a man of mentality. He said, I want you to go farming, boy. He said, I want you to buy the biggest bar in the state of Missouri for $6.3 million. And guess what I needed? I needed $1,000,000. Hang on, God, you tricked me. I've been saving for sowing. I thought I was saving to make me feel comfortable. God cut me, and I walked out with that money. Somebody ought to help me. And I took the $1,000,000 to the bank, and I signed something. And now, not only did we lose the million, now we owe $5 million. I left looking like Fred Sanford. I think this is a dumb idea. And guess what? Then it snowed. I said, Dad, I'm coming to join you. But I had to break the cycle of low-level thinking, of man and mentality, to get God's spiritual farming. Somebody ought to help me right now. And the debt didn't last long, and the trouble didn't last long, because trouble and pain came to pass. You're stronger than you think you are. You're more anointed than you think you are. You're qualified. Somebody ought to help me. I'm talking to you right now. God wants you to get rid of that man and mentality, survival mentality, and start thinking, moving on up. Come on, y'all ought to go. I don't even know. It's probably on YouTube. There's this little guy named George Jefferson. Come on, raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. And he walked like this. Come on, Wheezy. Moving on up to the east side, to that deluxe apartment in the sky. You got to have that attitude instead of saying, oh, Pastor, will you pray for me? I don't know if I can make sense of that. Have you seen who's running for president? Come on, that'll make you sad. What? Huh? We voted in presidents. They did. We didn't. And they will vote again. And we will, because we're representatives here in the United States of America. But we're really not from here. That's why we're different. That's why we don't fit in. We actually come from a kingdom where our dad is the king, and he supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Somebody ought to help me today. So we don't have manna mentality. I hope the government drops it down. I hope something happens. I don't care if Osama, Obama, or your mama gets it. God is still in charge. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning. And somebody ought to help me. The first and the last. He is the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning sun. He's God. Woo. Somebody take a praise break just for a minute and tell him, you're God. I know you're God. I believe you're God. Oh, Lord Jesus. Man of mentality. I want you to turn with me as this last passage of Scripture. Maybe. I have nowhere to be this weekend, you know, we just might just look at your neighbor and say, stop griping. So you're looking better right now. You look better than you did when you came in here. The word was celebrate. I never thought about it, but the joke worked great with the thing. Remember? Some people are like, oh my gosh, he's still going for it. If you can't laugh at me, or some people, don't, if you can't laugh at this, you can't fun here. Do not go to a movie and watch. Come on, somebody. You go to a movie, you laugh at that. Church shouldn't be so different from the movies. A lot of action. This is an action movie. Philippians 4, verse 1. Therefore, my beloved, I long, brethren, my joy, my crown, stand fast, trust in the Lord. Verse 3. I urge you also, the true companion, to help these women who labored with me in the gospel. He's talking about fellow workers. Then he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice. Once you get joy, you have to rejoy because joy leaks. Let your gentleness be known to all men that the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And let the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, and camp around, the Bible said, guard your mind. Paul is going through a lot of stuff right now. We read it like, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Like Paul was going, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Go down to verse 19, it says, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We think that's the way Paul was quoting that. But the more I've studied it, the more I was finding out and found out that Paul was actually preaching to himself. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, give thanks. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Instead of saying like my dad did, oh, it's snowing and I'm tired of fighting. See, the devil will try to wear you out. All you have to do is get up one more time, then the devil knocks you down and you win. Because it's technically your bat and your ball and your dad owns the stadium, so you can go as many times as you want. And if you just don't quit, you will win. And that's what Paul was saying. He said, I've been through some trials. I've been through some troubles. I've been through some heartaches. But I'm coming out of this man of mentality, and I've been broke. I know what it's like to base. I know what it's like to be abound. He was preaching to himself. Verse 14 says, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Check that out. He was distressed. Stress happens. Awkward moments happen. You lose your cool. But then you go back to church and God provides you with more information that gives you power that keeps your train on the track. I think I can. I think I can. Friday, I hope I can. Oh God, I better get to church Saturday. Is there a service on Saturday night? Oh, thank God I can. Because the enemy tries to separate you and get you thinking like my dad did, that this man of mentality is always going to be this way. It's not always going to be this way. If God stops dropping manna and we have no more manna, then he's going to provide something else. See, when sometimes we gripe about manna. They were griping. Oh, we brought us out here in the wilderness for 40 years, and all we've been eating is this stupid manna. We had it fried. We had it shredded. We had the sushi style. We had everything. They're griping, and then all of a sudden it went away, and now they're like, boy, I sure wish I had some manna. See, sometimes we don't really appreciate what we got until it's gone. Somebody ought to help me right now. All the ladies ought to say, listen to him right now, Bubba. Yeah, gripe about my hot pocket. Come on, take me an hour to make minute rice. Stop, oh, yeah, the best thing I make is reservations. I know, but listen, I'm your good thing. I'm what God gave you right now. Stop griping about what you don't have. Celebrate what you do have. Keep the train on the track. Somebody ought to help me and say, oh yeah, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. See, when you come to Faith Church every week, we study, we pray, we work hard. So when the devil drains you of your joy, we fill all those holes back up and we fill you back up with joy so you don't have to limp into Monday. You leap into Monday saying, oh, I know God's favor is on my life. Come on, his blessing. Somebody ought to, some of my black people ought to help the white people out of this. Hello! Woo! Somebody shout hallelujah! Shout, no more manna mentality.
No more manna mentality.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus.
Shout, I'm focused on the supplier,
not the supply.
Because I just heard the Holy Spirit say, sometimes the supply will lie. I love it when he preaches with me. I want to get the CD myself because I haven't said half of this. It's mostly him. The only part I brought to the table tonight is kind of controversial. How many of y'all can always tell the part I brought? Come on, raise your hand. I know you do. But how many of y'all love your pastor anyway? Some of y'all are like, yeah, but she ain't here. Woo, that hurts. Supply. I want to tell you this story before we go. True story. God told me to go on television in Palm Beach. I didn't want to go to Palm Beach, start a church. I already had a church, had three of them. And I knew God was calling me to pastor in St. Louis the rest of my life, even though it snowed. I have no problem with snow. I like snow. I make snowmen, snow ice cream. Come on. Anybody ever had that, made snow ice cream? Just thank God for that, Lord. I thank you, Lord. That's fun. Okay, so now, I have no desire to go to Florida. But God spoke to me, and he said, I need you to go to Florida because I need a preacher like you down there. There's none like you down there. And how many of y'all know that's probably true? So I went on television in Florida, and I went down there and spent a whole lot of money on TV time. Never asked for money on TV. Don't even have a church. Had a guy who was a donor who lived there who just wrote a check every month, and he paid all the bills, so it made it easy. How many of y'all, it's pretty easy when the money just drops down out of heaven, and you go, oh, yeah, I'm a great faith man. Then one day he called up. He said, hey, our year's up. I thought, well, I was sure hoping that you were going to recommit your life to Jesus Christ. And you were going to, come on, somebody, you're going to commit to God, and you're going to keep doing it. He said, no, no. I said, you know, we're done. So I thought, oh, man. So I went to God. And God said, well, you were looking to the wrong source. He was a source, but he wasn't the source. So he said, I kind of noticed that, see what God was doing. He was cutting something off of me. Don't make me go there. Come on, you know the walk. Come on. Come on, Steve. Don't make me do this. Come on. I can go there if you want me to go there, but I don't want to. Some of you are looking like, go there, go there. Stop it. So now, we sold our house because we had too many stalkers. Everybody knew where we lived. So we sold our house and bought a house out in the country, a few miles from here. And we were living in the basement. They were going to fix up the upstairs bedroom. And we're living in the basement. We lived in this house in the basement. And I turned on the television, and Kenneth Copeland was on TV. And I didn't even try to watch him. He just was on. And at the end, he's closing. And he said, my announcer's going to tell you more about the offer. Hey, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, you feed them. Which was code for me because the Lord told me to feed my sheep. And he said, you feed them. You feed them. I thought, oh, my gosh. I think he was talking to me. So I rewound it real quick, told Nicole, come back in here, look at this. And he said, you feed him. She said, oh my gosh, this is it. So I started reading the book of Acts every day. Remember I told you that chair time. Chair time will change your life. God speaks to me and says, read the book of Acts every day on your knees for 30 days. So I got down on my knees, and I got to this part after a few days. And it said, Paul and Silas were in prison, and at midnight, they began to sing praises unto the Lord. And when the prisoners heard them, the prisoners' doors opened up, and everybody was saved and healed, and everybody got out of prison, okay? When I heard that, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, people are in prison at late night TV, and I want you to buy all the late night TV that you can. And I said, Lord, you are aware that we lost our biggest donor, and now I'm paying for all the bills, right? Come on, anybody ever negotiate with God? Okay, we're not done apparently. I said, how many of y'all negotiate with God? I know you do. Oh God, if you'll save me this time, I promise to God I'll never do it again. Oh God, I promise if you'll fix this, I'll do it. Come on, somebody, everybody in here is admiring this. Oh Jesus, blah, blah, blah. And then you get feeling good again, and you're like, oh yeah, I'm not sure what I told you. So I got up, and the Lord said, buy it. So now watch this. Watch the supplier is still the same, but the supply has now changed. So I went and called the radio, or the buyer, Randall Taylor, with the Dunhaman Group, and I said, I want to buy all the late night TV that is for sale in Palm Beach County. All of it. Now, I bought it, signed all the contracts, didn't know how the manna was going to come, but I knew the man could supply the manna. if I would obey and allow him to cut off this idea that I had, that I had to get them. See, some of y'all look into your job right now. Somebody, you're waiting for this situation, the economy. If you live by sowing and reaping, spiritual farming, and you're a tither, and this church is, and we're a giver, then you just trust God. So I bought all the time. Now all of a sudden, that guy calls me back about a month later. He said, the Lord's been dealing with me. Do you know some of the harvest that you're waiting to receive is not the devil blocking it? It's disobedient people not obeying God and giving you the raise. Somebody ought to pray right now. Somebody ought to get excited. He's like, I wish I had my husband. You need to pray that that dumb devil gets off of him so he can come to you. Mm-hmm. So now the guy calls me. He says, man, I've been praying. And he said, I just want to let you know that I feel like the Lord spoke to me that I need to start paying all those TV bills again. And I said, well, that's nice, but I'm here to tell you something. We bought more. He said, how much more? I said, we bought all of it. Everything that was for sale, we bought all of it. We're getting strippers saved like crazy. People are calling in from all over Palm Beach County. We got Donald Trump running out of a restaurant saying, Nicole, Nicole, come here. I watch you in the middle of the night. How many of y'all know we need to help him? Come on, somebody ought to help me. Oh, yeah. We got Ben Carson saying, Nicole, please come pray for me. Nicole, I got the picture of it. She stands in Palm Beach laying hands on him and praying for him. I don't get invited to any of this stuff. Wonder why. I just don't know how to act in public, you know? But God was doing something. He was touching people from the outhouse to the White House. He was doing something in me to cut off my provision mentality and say, David Crank, I need you to think big. And if you start thinking big, then you tap into being like me because I am the first and the last. Come on. He said, let there be light when it is completely dark. Hello, Jesus. Somebody ought to help me today. I'm preaching. I'm almost done. If you just give some, somebody ought to praise God just for all campuses. Somebody ought to shout. Somebody ought to say, man, somebody ought to praise God. Somebody, if you don't know anything, just say, I'm moving on up. So he said, okay, well, I'll just pay all those bills. Then he called back. He said, man, the Lord's dealing with me. I'm like, man, God's really good at negotiating. All I had to do was this. See, the way up is actually down. I said, the way up is actually down. Oh, yeah, come on. My God shall supply all of my needs, God, according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus, God. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken or a seed up, breaking for bread. God, I know the manna stopped over here, but I'm not looking to man. I'm looking to God, and I'm going to learn how to farm in Canaan and come out of this manna mentality in the name of Jesus. Now, listen. While I'm doing that, God's asking me to buy Weldon Spring. Signing my name to $4 million over here. And I have this commitment over here. If I buy airtime on TV, I pay for it a month in advance. Everything you ever see of us is paid in advance. ABC loves me. CBS loves me. Fox loves me. They all love me because I'm the only preacher in the world that pays in advance. Woo-hoo! So all of a sudden I get the call. Guy calls back and he said, hey, the Lord's dealing with me some more. He said, then I need to make that thing retroactive and I need to go back and pay for all that stuff that I didn't pay for. Oh, and we got a check to the church and I said, oh, come on. And that money had already been spent to bless people and change people's lives. So then we have more money. Everybody shout, more money. We had more money to do what we needed to do at your campus, Weldon, and we began to fix up the portico, and we made everything. See, where God guides, he provides. If he brings you to it, he'll bring you through it. Come on, somebody. David said, I can run through a troop, and I can leap over a wall. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed up begging for bread. We got to get out of this manna mentality, and we got to learn how to do some spiritual farming. So if you sow where you grow, you're a tither and you're a giver. And this doesn't work for you. It doesn't even pertain to you if you're not a tither and a giver. You got to get that first. And then if you try to rip God off, you can't rip God off.
Because he definitely knows when you're sleeping. And he knows when you're awake. And he knows if you've been good or bad. Come on, somebody. So be good for good. I know it's about Santa, but I don't want to spoil it for everybody, but it's Jesus who provides supernatural surprises and has gifts with your name on it. Ha, ha, ha. Woo! Somebody shout, wow! Shout it backwards. It's almost Mother's Day. Shout it upside down. So he went back, and I got it all back. But it didn't drop down anymore like it was. I was just accustomed to it. What is it? Then I had to go through the stage of, where is it? And it wasn't in them. It's not in your job. God will break you for sucking eggs just like that. And now you're like, God, I know you're my source. And really what it is it allows you to be an awesome pastor. Because I could look at whoever and tell them, no, we're not going to do it that way. Because we're kind of independently funded. We're funding our own campaign here. Through my dad. And I got the same dad you do. And he doesn't love, I know you're not going to believe this, but he doesn't love you any more than he loves me. Now, I know he laughs at me more. He likes my jokes. He tells me, he's like, do that again. I love when you do that. That's how I do that. Yeah. I know that. I know. But I'm different than you. But you embrace who you are. We don't need more of me in the world. Don't say amen right there. We need you. You complete me. I complete you. We are the body of Christ, and we have a lot of souls to win, and we got to change the way we think so we can change the way we live, and a mind stretch never goes back to its original size. Everybody stand with me real quick. We're going to do something a little different. How many of y'all would raise your hands and say, Pastor, I needed that today. Come on, all campuses, raise your hand high. Everywhere, even online, raise it again. Let me see it. Let God see it. I can't see you everywhere at all campuses. God's good. I want to pray for you. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit move in and out every row, in and out every aisle, touch every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. And God, allow your amazing love and your amazing grace to touch their life in a big way. Change us, God, from this manna mentality over into a supernatural, abundant mentality. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise.
For more information about Pastor David's teaching and ministry, visit davidcrank.com. We open up.